Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we stand in need of the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds, Father, to be accepting unto this your word, and to give us greater understanding of it, Father, so that we can grow thereby, grow in faith and grow in spirit. Father, be with us now through this study. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going in to the book of Ephesians. And of course, the author of this book is also Paul, Apostle Paul. And I just don't believe we're going to find a whole lot of difference in the language than what we found in Galatians and Corinthians, for example, because he is a very straightforward apostle of God. Here in verse 1, One and two. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of people out there that really believe that the Bible was written to the lost. But it wasn't. It was wrote to the church and to the saints that belong to these churches, explaining to them Now they can better grow and walk stronger and closer with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now verse 2. It says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus arose and then ascended into heaven, he went to heaven to sit on the right hand of power, which is Almighty God, our Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, using blessed here is actually a way of giving praise unto God. You know, and when God blesses man, he confers benefits upon him. But when man blesses God, as Paul is doing here, then man will attribute praise to him who has blessed us. Now, but you know, Paul, he praises God because he has bestowed spiritual blessings on all of his people. Now, you know, you say, when did he do that? Probably in eternity past. Think about that. And where are those blessings located? They're in heavenly places. It's in heaven. Just as the Christian citizenship. You see, that's where those that are the children of God, their citizenship is actually there in heavenly places. And it also, along with those blessings, gives you and I an inheritance and all of that. His treasure that is in heaven that we will receive when we get there. We don't stop and really think about these things when we sit down to read the Bible. Because most do not study it as they read it. They read it as just a book, not trying to see what God is saying to them by each verse and through each verse. And there'll be some of the verses that we won't get anything from because they wasn't meant for us individually. Most likely they was meant for someone else. But we will receive the knowledge and the revelation of what God wants us to receive when we study this word instead of just reading. Now, 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What a way to walk. But that's what God is expecting of you. You see, most all of them out here even claim to be Christians. They'll read something like that and they'll say, no, you can't do that. No, we can't be that way. God don't mean for us to be that way. He's told us that there is none righteous, no, not one. But you see, they're not studying and getting the revelation from the word to see what God is really wanting of them. Now, yes, I know the phrase I just used is in the Bible, but I also know that when you read the rest of that, you find out that he was talking about us before we came to Christ. Not after, but before. This here is letting you and I know when we were chosen. To be, he told us that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And that takes that godly love. I want you to think about that. Now, 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. I'm going to read you what the footnote has here about that verse here in my teacher's edition. It says the verb predestinate literally means to mark off or to choose before. God chooses those he knows that will participate in his plan of salvation and extends it to all who respond in faith. The doctrine of predestination in Scripture relates to the foreknowledge of God. You see, God knows even before he called you how you are going to stand. He knows whether you'll accept that calling or you won't. You see, just because he calls you doesn't mean that he's forcing you to accept it. No. You still have the choice to make one way or the other. You see, that word predestination, as my Bible gives it here, says is especially noticeable in the conversion of the Apostle Paul, since he was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church. Paul was not a good man at all. Some Christians had a different time believing Paul could be saved even after he so testified because they still knowing what was ahead and how Paul would respond, God chose him as apostle to the Gentiles because he knew exactly how Paul would react, how he would stand, and how he would accept what God was giving him to do and to speak and to say. And you know, when we understand that God has chosen and predestinated us, we should also realize we have been ordained to good works and to bear fruit and to become like Jesus. And we can walk in his footsteps. But you have to give yourself completely, total and completely, over to God and the Lord Jesus. And then God gives us everything we need in order to carry out calls on us to do. Now here in 6 he says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. You see, and that is a gift of God. You can't work your way into that. You can't buy it. It is a gift. And the things we do as a child of God is not so we can be that child, but we do them because we are that child. And that's why it lays within us to do those things. Not the other way around. Now, 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We go to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. He forgives our sins. And then we are baptized and we are putting on his death, his burial, his resurrection. And we come out covered by his blood. You see, that's why we can say that we can walk in grace, in righteousness, in holiness, is all because of him and what he has done for us. 8, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. All wisdom and prudence. 9, having made known unto us the mystery his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has proposed in himself. having made known to us the mystery of his will. You see, it's not dead anymore. He has made it known to you and I, those that will belong to him. 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. You know, that verse 10 there can take us and refer us back to God's good pleasure. And it's made to you and I more plain by a little paraphrase. And all things, you know, the fullness of time. That means in his good pleasure is to hit up all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth. Think about this. And out of his good pleasure or intention, he gives us the restoration of the original universal unity, when all things are brought back into harmony with himself and under the leadership and the headship of Christ. You see what is said in these verses? What would you have done with that verse just if you'd have been sitting down reading the Bible? You wouldn't have got that. I guarantee you. You'd have went right on into verse 11 without thinking about it. You see, that's what's good about Bible study. It's letting God talk to you. And that's why we have the Holy Spirit in us, is he gives us the revelation as we study the Word of God. And that's what we're told to do. He says, study to show thyself approved, a workman worthy of his hire. He didn't say read it, he said study. Now, 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. We have that inheritance. And you know, that inheritance is where believers, actually, we are God's treasure. And we wonder sometimes, why would Paul regard this as a blessing? As God's treasure. Because you see, according to God's word, Christians are the apple of God's eye. We are the special object of his love. And you know, he is then determined to care and provide for his people. God is determined to provide for you and I. Because we are his. We are his heritage. Think about that as you wonder about yourself. And you wonder, how much does God love me? That's letting you know there. He loves you greatly. When you become that child of God, you are loved greatly. And God will not withhold any good thing from you. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, he's referring there to actually the Jewish believers. Because you see, they were the first. To trust in the Lord Jesus. Because that's who he was born to. He was born. Jesus was born to Jew. To Jewish parents. In a Jewish community, in a Jewish land. And as he grew in the synagogues, he heard the teachings, and yet he also knew that he was to make changes. 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now he's talking here to the Gentiles, letting them know that they also trusted after they heard the word of truth. And who was it they heard it from? In the beginning, it was all from the Jewish people. In the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was still here on this earth. Then after that, his disciples. Now 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What is purchased possession? You see, the Holy Spirit is the one that really guarantees our salvation. And you know, that word earnest means down payment. So much in these verses. for you and I to learn. Now, 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. He's heard of their faith in the Lord and how their love was for all the other saints also. Sixteen. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul is letting them know that he does not cease. Thank God for them that have become the children of Almighty God. He's always holding them in his prayer, as we do today. We thank God for all that walks in salvation, all that has accepted Jesus, all that has been filled with the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And regardless of who they are, where they come from, or what color they are, does not matter, because we are all the children of God. 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Our Heavenly Father. You see, that's why we are told when we pray to pray to the Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. Because you see, we have to go through Jesus to get to the Father. But we do that because he is the one that gives the spirit of wisdom and revelation to you and I in the knowledge of him. Because you see, it's his Holy Spirit that's in us, giving us this knowledge and wisdom. Now, 18. I'm just going to read these next two verses to you. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, I read that as we would be reading when we just read the Bible. But when we back up here to 17, to that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. How are they enlightened? They are enlightened by that Holy Spirit that has been given to you by the Lord God. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That we now can know what that hope was of his calling. And we know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, which is all for his glory. Because he loves each one of us. 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? That power has also been given to you and I to do his work and to take care of you and I and to give us the knowledge and the love and the faith we need in order to do the work. That's what comes from his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He done all of this through Jesus Christ. He done it when he raised him from the dead. And he's sitting at his own right hand in heavenly places. He put him at his right hand, the right hand of power. And what else did it put him? Above? 21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. There is no other name to match the name of Jesus. Not in this world or the one to come. 22. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Now you understand why you hear me say so much that we don't need these walls built around these churches that divide mankind, because Christ has been made head over us all, and he only has one church, his. And we all must belong to it. Now we can put any name we want to put in front of the building so people will know where we are at. But we don't need to be making different groups out of it. This ministry is called the Lighthouse Team Ministries. That's because it doesn't have anything its own. I'm not the head of this ministry, although I am the founder of it. I'm still not the head of it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of this ministry. I'm here as an overseer and to do what God calls upon us to do and to complete and do it his way. Not mine, but his. This one little short verse here, and we'll be closing for the evening. We'll be coming to the end of chapter 1, 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Is your church really filled by the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he the head of your church? I really mean the head. And that your prayers and all are made through him. We're to have the fullness of him that will fill all in all, to fill each and every one of us. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word this evening, we thank you for that word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We thank you for times that we can come together to share your word, Heavenly Father, with each other and with the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ and with you, Father. And we do this knowing that we are to walk upright, walk according to your will in your way and not ours, and always lifting up mankind, praying for those that are walking in darkness, Father, that the Holy Spirit will be able to talk with them and lead them from darkness to light, that light being Jesus. Father, we also pray for those that are your children, those that have been born again. We pray, Father, for them to walk in power, always doing what you call upon them to do. We pray that they walk in health, in safety, and that they walk with all of their needs met, whatever those needs may be. And we know, Father, that they will, because they're yours. But we love them, Father, just as you love them. Mercy upon them, Father. And mercy upon us. Because, Father, we do at times stand in needs. And we have one right now. You know that need. Up my wife right now, and I pray that the Holy Spirit touch her with the healing hand, Father, restore her memory, give her strength and body, and bring her home to me. Now, Father, there are those who say, well, you know your wife's sick, so why do you preach on healing? We all face things, and sickness is one of them. We don't go through them by ourselves. She's not by herself. And we know that God is going to bring her through this. And we know that she'll come out stronger than she was when she went into it. Father, we know Satan is after us all. and especially those that will mention the name of Jesus. He wants to pull them away. Now, Father, be with them all. Walk with all of us, Father. We all need you. We all need the Lord Jesus. We all need the Holy Spirit. And we all need the knowledge that is given to us by your word. Be with us now throughout this evening and through the night, Father, healing those that are sick, filling the needs of others that are in spiritual need as well as physical need, whether it be food, finances, whatever that need may be. Father, we know there's nothing possible. Now, Father, as I ask, watch over us. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, have a great night. Hold on to God, and he'll hold on to you. Good evening, all.